Stand for the reading of the Word of God, Joshua chapter 1, verse 1. Now after the death of Moses, the servant of the Lord, it came to pass that the Lord spake unto Joshua the son of Nun, Moses' minister, saying, Moses, my servant, is dead. Now therefore arise, go over this Jordan, thou and all this people, unto the land which I do give to them, even to the children of Israel. Every place that the sole of your foot shall tread upon, that have I given unto you, as I said unto Moses, from the wilderness and this Lebanon, even unto the great river, the river Euphrates, all the land of the Hittites, and unto the great sea toward the going down of the sun, shall be your coast. There shall not any man be able to stand before thee all the days of thy life. As I was with Moses, so I will be with thee. I will not fail thee, nor forsake thee. Be strong and of a good courage, for unto this people shalt thou divide for an inheritance the land which I swear unto their fathers to give them. Only be thou strong and very courageous, that thou mayest observe to do according to all the law which Moses my servant commanded thee. Turn not from it to the right hand or to the left, that thou mayest prosper whithersoever thou goest. This book of the law shall not depart out of thy mouth, but thou shalt meditate therein day and night, that thou mayest observe to do according to all that is written therein. For then thou shalt make thy way prosperous, and then thou shalt have good success. Have not I commanded thee, be strong and of a good courage. Be not afraid, neither be thou dismayed. For the Lord thy God is with thee whithersoever thou goest. Father, we're glad this morning for the privilege that we have to worship God, to be together in this assembly, feel the presence of the Lord. Thank you this morning for the truths that we have heard sung about, testified about. Oh God, our heart rejoices this morning in what Jesus means to us, what we've experienced in the grace of God. We pray this morning that you'd touch hearts, you'd meet needs, you'd speak to souls this morning, you'd edify the body of Jesus, your anointing would be upon me, Lord. You'd help me, Father, weak as I am, to be a blessing to the people of God. We'll give you the glory and honor and praise in Jesus' name. Amen. I want to talk to you this morning for a few minutes about possessing your inheritance. In my text, the children of Israel are standing on the borders of Canaan, the promised land, the land God promised to give to them. They've been here before, 38 years before. They were standing on the borders of Canaan, and they turned away from the inheritance that God had promised to them through unbelief. Unbelief blocked their way into the promised land. It blocked their way into the inheritance God had promised to them. And I want to tell you something. It'll block your way into the inheritance God has promised to you. When God gave Joshua instructions to lead the children of Israel into the land of promise, he first described for him the boundaries of their inheritance. He told him, I'm going to give you this land from the Euphrates River to the Mediterranean Sea. And he described the borders of the inheritance that God had promised to his people. It was important that Joshua know the boundaries of the inheritance God had given to his people. And it's important for me and you to know the inheritance that God has promised to us. It's important for us to know the boundaries of that inheritance. You know, there were things that God did not promise to them. God didn't promise to give them the wilderness. He promised to give them Canaan. He didn't promise to give them Russia, China, so forth. But he promised them this land from Euphrates to
the Mediterranean. Now, I want you to understand something. The children of Israel have never possessed the full borders that God marked out for them. They have never, at the time of David and Solomon, their glorious days, they never have possessed the full breadth and length of what God promised to them. And I want to tell you something. You haven't either. And here's what we want to know. What are the boundaries of the inheritance that God has promised to us? And what we are given in the New Testament is the boundaries of our inheritance. That's what the New Testament is about. You know what a last will and testament is, don't you? Well, this is what the New Testament is. It's a declaration of those blessings and benefits provided for us through the cross of Jesus Christ. Our inheritance is described for us in the New Testament. That's why it's so critical that you know the Scriptures. It's so critical that you study to show yourself approved unto God, a workman that needeth not to be ashamed, rightly dividing the word of truth. Many people do not know what their inheritance is because they've never looked at the last will and testament. Oh, yeah. And you've got to study that testament to find out what is the boundaries of your inheritance. Now, here's a mistake that some people make. They don't understand that there are some benefits and blessings that are promised to us now, and that there are some benefits and blessings that are part of this testament that are delayed. They're promised to us later. You can get really confused and disillusioned and discouraged if you try to apply the delayed promises to the present. And that has been done in the neo-Pentecostal movement and the charismatic movement. Promises to the people of God that are for the future have been applied to the present and left people disillusioned and disappointed and oftentimes forced them into unbelief. Because I want you to understand something. You are still in a mortal body. You are promised an immortal body, but you're not in that immortal body yet. There will be a day that God's going to give us an immortal body. Our bodies have been redeemed. God, in His sacrifice of Jesus on the cross, did not just include our souls. He included our bodies. But we are still in a mortal body. And your body is going to get sick. And you're going to have diseases. And you're going to have broken bones. And you're going to have all kinds of problems in your body because you still live in a mortal body. And it is not true that if you get saved, all sickness is over with. It is a lie. I'm telling you, it is a lie that when a man gets saved, his troubles are over with. They're not over with. Many are the afflictions of the righteous. I'm telling you, you'll find out, brother, a lot of people have found out to their dismay that when they got saved, their troubles were not over. In fact, they sailed into rough waters immediately and found out that the devil was mad they got saved and was coming after them to try to get them back. You're still in a mortal body. And there are benefits and blessings promised to us in the New Covenant, in the New Testament, that are delayed benefits. And if you don't understand that, and you don't make that distinction, you will soon become very disillusioned and discouraged and despondent because you're trying to claim promises that don't belong to you in the present, but belong to you in the future. Well, this New Testament, it's important for us to understand the benefits that God has promised to us in this new covenant, in this new testament. You know, the Bible tells us in the book of Ephesians chapter 1, verses 13 and 14, I believe it is, in whom also, after you heard the word of truth, you trusted in Jesus, and you were sealed with that Holy Spirit of promise, which is the earnest of our inheritance, until the purchase until what? Redemption of the purchased possession. So this Spirit of God is the down payment of our inheritance. And what God has done when we get saved, He puts in us the Spirit of God. And the Spirit of God is our down payment on our inheritance. It is just a little taste of what there is more to come. Hallelujah. So God gives to us His Spirit. If any man have not the Spirit of Christ, listen to this. If any man have not the Spirit of Christ, he is none of His. God puts His Spirit inside of us. Spirit of God is the one that regenerates us. Jesus said, except a man be born of the water and of the Spirit, he shall not enter into the kingdom of God. It is the Spirit of God that regenerates us, makes us new creatures in Christ Jesus. The power of the Spirit of God that brought Jesus out of the grave on Resurrection Day. That's the same power. The same power that brought Jesus out of the grave is the same power that resurrects us to spiritual life, brings us out of spiritual death and into spiritual life. Hallelujah. You have been quickened who were dead in trespasses and in sins. Jesus, the power of the Spirit of God, resurrects us to spiritual life. It is the work of the Spirit of God to sanctify you. We are sanctified by the blood. We're sanctified by the Word. We are sanctified by the work of the Spirit of God in our life. Oh yeah, so the Spirit of God is jealous over you. And the Spirit of God works in your life to bring every portion of your life under the Lordship of Jesus Christ. That's a sanctifying work that He does. I believe in a sanctified experience. I'm telling you that there is a sanctifying work that goes on by the power of the Spirit as long as you live. The Spirit of God is correcting you, reproving you, and rebuking you, and teaching you, and instructing you in the ways of God, and in the will of God. And there is a process going on in your life. As long as you live, the Spirit of God is molding you and making you what you ought to be for Jesus Christ and the kingdom of God. The Bible tells us, you know, in the book of Galatians chapter 5, it tells us about the list of the works of the flesh. And then it tells us, on the other hand, the contrast is the fruit of the Spirit. Fruit of the Spirit, 9 of them. Love, joy, peace, long-suffering, gentleness, goodness, faith or faithfulness, meekness, and temperance. Against such there is no law. Now what I've just described for you is the character of Jesus Christ, the Son of God. Look at this. Love, joy, peace, long-suffering, gentleness, goodness, faith or faithfulness, meekness, and temperance. I just told you what Jesus is like. Did I not? I just told you what Jesus is like. This is the fruit of the Spirit in us. You know what He's doing in your life? Hey, listen to me. You know what He's doing in your life? He's reproducing the character of Jesus Christ in you. This is the fruit of the Spirit working in our life. He's sanctifying you, and He's reproducing the character of Jesus Christ in your life. If you cannot see any improvement in your life over time, I'm telling you, it is a sign that something has gone wrong in your life. You hear me? I said if there is no moral and spiritual improvement in your life over time, it's a good sign something has gone wrong in your life, because the Holy Ghost, the Spirit of God, is molding us and making us in the image of the Son of God I'm telling you, he's got one pattern. You hear me? The Spirit of God has got one pattern. He don't have a half a dozen patterns. He's got one pattern. God has ordained that we resemble His Son. He's ordained, He's predestinated us to be conformed to the image of the Son of God. He don't have a half a dozen patterns. He's just got one pattern. He's making you in the image of the Son of God, reproducing the character of Jesus Christ in you. Oh, yeah. This is the sanctifying work of the Spirit of God in your life. Cleaning out your heart, cleaning out your home, cleaning up your attitude. The Spirit of God will work on you to get rid of everything that's not like Jesus. Somebody asked the sculptor one day, how do you get an elephant out of a piece of stone? He said, you just cut away everything that don't look like an elephant. It's pretty simple, ain't it? Well, how do you get the image of Jesus Christ in your life and my life? You just cut away everything that don't look like Jesus. Hallelujah. So there's a work going on in us. A sanctifying work by the power of the Spirit of God. And the Spirit of the Lord, this is a down payment on our inheritance. So the range of the Spirit's work in our life is the down payment of what God has promised to us in the future. We've got something wonderful coming, and this is a down payment on what's coming. Just a taste of what's ahead. He comes to empower us. God has given to us the Holy Ghost, the Spirit of God to empower us. He comes, as the Bible said, Jesus said, tarry in Jerusalem until you be endued with power from on high. Acts 1:8, he said, you shall receive power after that the Holy Ghost has come upon you, and you shall be witnesses unto me both in Jerusalem, Judea, Samaria, to the uttermost parts of the earth. I'm going to give you power to be a witness for me. And I know that there is a measure of personal enrichment that comes about with the giving of the Holy Ghost, the baptism with the Holy Ghost, the fullness of the Spirit of God that God gives to us. And there's a measure of personal enrichment in that. But I'm telling you, there's more to it than just personal enrichment. God wants to empower us to become witnesses for Jesus Christ. God gives us power to promote the Son of God in this world. And if we've ever needed the power to promote the Son of God, we need that power right now. I stayed in a motel there in Alabama, walked next door yesterday morning, I believe it was. Walked next door, and there's a store there just to buy a little breakfast. And a guy was a foreigner. I asked him, where is he from? He said, he's from India. I said, are you a Christian? No, I'm a Hindu. And I began to talk to him about Jesus and the sacrifice of Jesus and what Jesus came to do for us and how He came that we might have life and have it more abundantly. He said, well, you know, God is one. The Hindus worship the same God. Christians worship the same God. Muslims worship the same God. Sikhs and so on. He just named off a big bunch of them. God is one. And we're all worshiping the same God. I said, that can't be true. It can't be true. If what Jesus says is true, that can't be true. Jesus said, I am the way, I am the truth, I am the life. No man cometh unto the Father but by me. I'm telling you, brother, this is the kind of society we're living in. And that's not just the thinking of Hindus. It's the thinking of people in evangelical churches. It'd probably be the thinking of people in holiness churches, and that just any old way will do. But you know what the Bible says, that He gave the Holy Ghost to us, Star? He gave us the Holy Ghost that we can promote Jesus Christ as the Savior of the world and tell the world that there's one way to heaven, and that way is Jesus Christ, the Son of God. Nobody else died for you to be saved. Nobody else sacrificed their blood for you. Nobody else said, I can lay down my life and I can take it up again but Jesus Christ. And the Bible tells us that the Holy Ghost is given to us to promote Jesus Christ. You are going to be witnesses unto me. If a Jehovah's Witness comes by your house and says, look, we are witnesses for Jehovah, tell them, read Acts 1 and 8. You shall receive power after the Holy Ghost has come upon you. And Jesus said, you shall be witnesses unto me. What's the Holy Ghost given for? So that we can promote Jesus Christ. Well, who is Jesus? Jesus is Jehovah. You hear me? I said Jesus is Jehovah. Jehovah's Witnesses will not accept that. But I'm telling you, Jesus is Jehovah. Jehovah of the Old Testament is Father, Son, and Holy Ghost, and Jesus is Jehovah. You shall be witnesses unto me, Jesus said. You're going to tell the world about me. Well, you know, there is in this, these blessings and benefits promised to us, there's healing for the physical body. The Lord has promised to us, He said, if any be sick among you, let him call for the elders of the church, let them pray over them, anointing them with oil in the name of the Lord, and the prayer of faith shall save the sick, and if they've committed any sins, it shall be forgiven them, right? Alright, look at this. It said, the prayer of faith will save the sick, and if they've committed sins, it shall be forgiven them. So, it indicates that there is some sickness that is the direct result of sin in our lives. Not all sickness is the direct result of sin. There is all sickness is the result of that first sin that Adam and Eve committed in the garden. But not all sickness is the direct result of sin in your life. But it can be. And when we are sick, it always pays to question, Lord, have I got out of your will? Lord, have I done? Is there something in my life that's displeasing to you? It's always good to question. Lord, is this a chastisement in my life? David said, before I was afflicted, I went astray. But now have I kept thy word? And sometimes sickness is a direct result of sin in a person's life. My granddaddy got saved, and he had drank some bad moonshine. Like to kill him. Sent for the doctor. The doctor come out. He threw up while he was waiting on the doctor. And the doctor told him, said, if you hadn't thrown up, Mr. Pittman, you'd be a dead man. But it ruined his stomach. He couldn't eat anything but just soft foods. And then when he got saved, the night he got saved, the next morning, he got up. He felt good. He told my granny, said, I want you to cook me a full course breakfast. I want biscuits, gravy, ham. I want the whole nine yards. Oh, his mama lived with him. She said, hey, Wallace, you know you can't eat that. It'll ruin your stomach. You can't eat that. He said, I believe I can. So granny cooked it. He ate it. Never bothered him. Ate anything he wanted the rest of his life. He said, the night Jesus saved my soul, he healed my stomach. Hallelujah. Oh, yeah. That was a direct result of sin. And God saved him and healed him that same night. Hallelujah. And the Bible says that if a person comes with faith in God, I'm going to tell you now, when you come here and you ask for prayer for your sickness, you've got to have confidence in God. But you have got to have confidence in the people of God. This requires that you have confidence in God and that you have confidence in the prayers of God's people. And when you come and you humbly ask God for the healing of your body, if you have sin in your life, He said not only will God heal you, that He will forgive you of your sins. You know why? Because the same blood that heals, that same blood forgives. The same blood that heals us covers our sins and washes away our sins. Hallelujah. This is some of the benefits of the new covenant that God has made with us. Hallelujah. You know the Spirit of God, the Bible says about the Spirit of God in 1 Corinthians chapter 2, that He has come and He is going to reveal to us those things that are freely given to us by God. The Spirit of the Lord discloses to us, opens up our understanding, those things that are freely given to us of God. And those things that are freely given to us, they're not free. Somebody bought it. Somebody purchased it. Somebody paid for it. It all comes as a result of what Jesus did on the cross of Calvary for us. The shed blood of Jesus, the suffering of the Savior, the rejection, the reproach of Jesus is what purchased your benefits. This is what purchased your blessings, and is what Jesus did for you on the cross of Calvary. Every benefit, every blessing that you enjoy comes from the cross of Jesus Christ. That's the reason why I'm weeping while we're singing about the cross. That's the reason why that I'm rejoicing while we sing about the cross. Every benefit, every blessing that you enjoy comes from the cross. And the Spirit of the Lord is testifying to us of those benefits that are freely given to us by God, opening our understanding to those things that belong to us as the people of God. You know, there is delayed benefits. There is an inheritance promised to the people of God. There is a city not made with hands, eternal in the heavens, that belongs to the people of God. God has promised to us that we have an inheritance beyond this world. When a person gets saved, this is what God does for us. He opens our eyes to a world beyond this one. We might not have thought about it before. We might not have considered it before, but when we get saved, God opens our eyes to a world beyond this one, a world we cannot see with the natural eyes, but we become aware of the fact there is a God in heaven. There are angels. They really exist. And there is a place where the people of God go when they die. There is the promise of the coming of the Lord. There is a city built by God. Jesus said, if I go away, He said, then I'll come again and I'll receive you unto myself, that where I am, there you may be also. We become aware of the fact that's a real place. We're going to that place. There's a city made by God. We understand that there's a new Jerusalem coming down from God out of heaven. And we know that it belongs to us as a people of God. The Holy Ghost makes it real to our hearts. There really is a heaven, and we can see it by the eye of faith. Faith is the substance of things hoped for, and it's the evidence of things not seen. And everybody that's a person of faith has opened to them a world beyond this world. Hallelujah. We live with our eyes on a world beyond this one. Everybody that keeps their eyes focused on this world will soon be discouraged and quit and throw up their hands. But when your eyes are focused on the world to come, when you've got in your mind the promise of God that belongs to the people of God, that there's coming the resurrection day, that the saints of God are going to wake up and get new bodies, and that we're going to a city that God has made for us, where all tears are going to be wiped away. Hallelujah! No more sickness, no more pain, no more dying, where Jesus is the light of that place and the star attraction of heaven. When you've got your eyes on that, my brother, oh, you can travel on. When things get dark around you, when despair is all you see, it keeps you singing in the midnight hour, keeps you pressing on when it seems like there's no reason to press on, keeps you praying on when it seems like there's no reason to pray on, because you've got your eyes on something beyond this world. God has opened up to you a world beyond this one and promised to you a reward for the saints of God. This is what Moses, he made a decision to bear the reproach of the people of God and enjoy the pleasures of sin for a season because he had respect for the recompense of reward. He saw there's something better than living in Pharaoh's palace. He saw that there's a world better than sitting and dining at Pharaoh's table. He rejected the palace of Pharaoh. He rejected the table of Pharaoh. He rejected the society of Pharaoh and said there's something better than Pharaoh's palace. There's something better than Pharaoh's table. Hallelujah. He had respect unto the recompense of reward. Hallelujah. Oh my. Well, I'm going to have to hasten here. Can y'all sit here a few more minutes? I ain't through yet. Y'all just hang in here just a few minutes. You got to understand the boundaries of your inheritance. And if you don't understand the boundaries of your inheritance, listen to me. You got to know what God promised to you. And when you know what God promised to you, you got to go after it. For God said to Joshua, He said, after He described the boundaries to him, and He said, every place that the sole of your foot treads, I'm going to give it to you. It ain't enough for you just to know where the boundaries are. I want you to walk the boundaries. I want you to walk the land. Every place you put your foot, I'm going to give it to you. So you understand it's not enough for you just to know about your inheritance. You've got to walk on it, brother. You've got to go after it. And God is wanting to encourage us this morning to go after what God has promised to us. And God will sanctify your life. You hear me? If you are a saved individual, God is going to sanctify your life, sanctify your heart, sanctify your home, and He'll sanctify the church. And if we'll follow the leading of the Holy Ghost, and this is part of the inheritance of the people of God. Oh yeah, He'll fill you with the Holy Ghost and give you power. Thank God. Oh yeah, He's still in the healing business as well, brother. Praise God. I got a bad shoulder, been asking for prayer, been getting people to anoint me and pray for me. I still got a bad shoulder. Can't get that shoulder up. That's about all I can do with it. But I'm telling you, I believe God has got the power to heal. Hallelujah. Oh, glory. Yeah, I remember Kendall, just a little tot, just a little child, fever raging. Judy and I, just young parents, no grandparents around, didn't know what to do with him, didn't have no money to go to the doctors. Summertime, his little body was burning up. We didn't have no air conditioner in the house, and his little body burning up with fever. You could just feel the heat radiating from him, even in the summertime. And we didn't know what to do. We called Sister Dorinda. She had some nursing training. We called her to come to the house. We took little Kendall, just a baby, opened the front door. It was getting evening, nighttime, cooling off a little bit. We opened the front door, laid him on a blanket in front of the door, and decided we'd pray. So we got down beside him, put my hand on his forehead. I'm telling you, brother, just a young daddy. I didn't know a whole lot. I didn't have a lot of faith, to tell you the truth. But I got down on my knees beside that little baby. Praise God. Laid my hands on his head and asked God to have mercy on us and touch that child. And while I had my hands on his head, I felt his fever going down under my hand. Woo! Hallelujah! I'm telling you, Jesus is a healer! Hallelujah! Yeah, when Sister Dorinda got there, my wife and I both had fallen asleep on the floor. Kendall's laying there asleep. She walks in and sees what's happened and sits down on the couch and starts crying. We wake up and she's on the couch crying. She understood Jesus got there ahead of her. Hey, glory to God. This is some of the benefits and blessings that God has given to us through the cross of Jesus Christ. I'm telling you, brother, when you get sick, run to Jesus first. We don't say you couldn't go to doctors. I ain't telling nobody not to go to doctors. And I'm not telling you not to use the medical profession. But I'm telling you that Jesus knows more than any doctor. And that Jesus has got more power than any doctor. And when the doctor has said, that's all I can do, he's just getting started. I'm telling you, Jesus has the power to heal. That's why we pray for people that's got cancer and the doctor said we give up on them. There's nothing else we can do. And that's why we pray for people that's laying in the hospital like Sister Reba and the doctors don't know what to do for her. We know somebody that knows what to do for her. Oh, glory to God. I'm telling you, we got to get up. Don't sit down where you are. Get up and start walking. Get up and start claiming what God has promised to you. You're going to die right there. Brother Jeff taught us this morning so well. If you don't get up from where you are and start walking, you're going to die right there. I'm telling you, it's important to God that you not scoff at what it cost blood to give you. Oh, glory to God. Woo! Hallelujah! I'm telling you, I'm glad this morning. I'm a happy camper in the kingdom of God. I'm a happy traveler on this glory road. Praise God. The Lord is a blessing me. Day by day. Praise God. You say you don't have no problems, preacher. I have problems that cause my eyes, my heart to weep. Amen. I have problems in my body. I've got problems just like you've got. But I'm a happy camper in the kingdom. I'm a happy traveler on the road. Woo! Every day I'm being blessed by the blessings that God has provided for me through the cross of Jesus Christ. And every day I'm on my knees beseeching heaven. Every day I'm praising God for His blessings. And I'm telling you, God wants to bless you, and His Son died to give you the blessings of Calvary. The Holy Ghost wants you to know the blessings that are available to you through the sacrifice of Jesus Christ. Hallelujah, hallelujah. Praise the Lamb of God. Oh, glory to Jesus. God gave Joshua instructions of how to be successful. He said, you be strong and of a good courage. You've got to listen to this. I'm giving you this land, but you have got to fight for it. Did you hear me? He said, I'm giving it to you, but you've got to fight for it. I want you to be strong and of a good courage. Yeah, there are cities out there, walled cities. Yeah, there are giants in that land, but I want you to be strong and of a good courage. I'm going to give you this land, God says. I've marked it out for you. I've told you what I'm going to give you. Now you go in there and walk over that land. You be strong and of a good courage. God said, I'm going to be with you. I will not leave you. Woo! I will not forsake you, He said. I'll go with you. Praise the Lamb of God. You just start walking this land. Claim what God has promised to you. Amen. And be strong and of a good courage. He wasn't talking about physical strength. He was talking about strength of mind and heart and soul. I want you to be determined whenever the enemy is strong, whenever dead bodies are lying on the ground at Ai, whenever Israel has turned their back and fled from the enemy, whenever their adversaries, whenever the walls are high, whenever the enemy is strong, I want you to be strong and of a good courage. I want you to be strong in mind and heart and soul. I want you to be steadfast and unmovable, always abounding in the work of the Lord, for as much as you know that your labor is not in vain in the Lord. I want you to understand, be not weary in well-doing, for in due season you shall reap if you faint not. If you're going to be successful, brother and sister, you've got to be strong and of a good courage. And listen to me now. It ain't just because you've got an adversary out there to face. He said, I want you to be strong and of a good courage to keep the commandments of God. I want you to be strong and of a good courage. I want you to meditate in the Word of God day and night. For then shalt thou be successful, because the Word of God is going to be the foundation of what you do for the kingdom of God. I want you to keep the commandments of God. I want you to be strong and of a good courage and keep my commandments. I want to tell you something, brother. It takes strength to keep the commandments of God. Oh, yeah. If you're going to obey God in your life, you young people, if you're going to obey God in your life, you're going to have to swim against the tide. You hear me? I said you're going to have to swim against the tide. You're going to have to be willing to bear reproach. You young ladies out there in the world with your long hair and long dresses and hallelujah and your modest clothing, oh yeah, the world's going to scoff at you. But I'm telling you, be strong and of a good courage and keep the commandments of God. You young men, because you won't joke with the others about their dirty jokes, laugh at their dirty jokes, and you don't have no dirty jokes to tell, and you don't have nothing to say about the movies, and you don't know all the ball players on every team in the NFL, I'm telling you, brother, they may scoff at you, but that's all right. Be strong and have a good courage. And hallelujah, the Lord is going to stand by you. Listen to me now. If you only do what's right when it's convenient, you don't have no principles. Do you hear me? I said, if you only do what's right when it's convenient, you don't have no principles. You're just a knockover for the devil, a pushover for Satan. You got to be strong. Mentally, spiritually, strong in heart, soul, mind. You got to do what's right when it's not convenient to do what's right. When the cotton mill's working 7 days a week, they come around and told my granddad, you're going to come to work or you're going to lose your job. My granddad said, I'm going to church. Like I always do with my family. Well, he said, well, don't come in on Monday if you don't come in on Sunday. He didn't go in on Sunday. Went to church like he always did. After he got back on Monday, they called him in, said, Mr. Pittman, you remember what we told you? Yeah, he said. Well, the big boss wants to see you down at the office. He walked in. Said, Mr. Pittman, go get your card. You know what we told you. Yes, sir. Brought his card back in. They're filling out his dismissal papers. My granddaddy was a man of faith. He said, sir, I just want to let you know, if you're going to fire me, God's got something better for me. He walked out of the mill. No job. Big family. Walked down the road. Another meal down the road. Hard times. Walked in the personnel office. Personnel man knew him. Said, Mr. Pittman, you looking for a job? He said, yes, sir. He said, you got one. Come on in the morning. And they said, they hadn't hired nobody in months. I'm telling you, if you will be strong and have a good courage, young people, it may not be convenient for you to do what's right when everybody around you is doing what's wrong. It may not be convenient for you to be clean and pure and holy and sanctified when all your companions around you are loose in their morals. But your principles are no good if they're not good when it's inconvenient to stand by them. Be strong. Y'all hearing me? Be strong. And have a good courage. Obey God when it's convenient to do so. Obey God when it's not convenient to do so. And you will find God to be a very present help in trouble. Hallelujah. I tell you, brother, I've been having a burden on my heart. And a burden on my heart. Yes, sir. Burden on my heart. For the Church of Jesus. Burden on my heart. For the people of God. For this church right here. Amen. When the Muslim hordes raced across northern Africa and up into the Middle East in the 600s and 700s, church that had been established for 500 or 600 years. In just a few years, it's wiped out. Everybody that was a Christian is now Muslim. Their children are Muslims. Their grandchildren are Muslims. Generations later, their great-great-greats are Muslims. What happened? I'll tell you, what happened? What happened in a place where 500 or 600 years they'd been Christians, and all of a sudden, everybody is a Muslim? I want to tell you what happened. Over the years, they departed from the principles of the Word of God gradually being disconnected from the Word of God and the principles of the Word of God. And when the Muslims came in, they were not willing to pay the price. They didn't have principles that were worth more than their life. And you and I, we're not facing persecution, but we are facing a world that's doing its best to rob you of the principles of the Word of God. And God, let us know if you're going to have your inheritance, you've got to be strong and of a good courage. I know what it is to bear reproach for Jesus. I lived for the Lord during my high school years. Part of that time in public school. I took my Bible to school every day. It sat on top of my science book, math book, history book. I didn't take it just to make a show. I took it because it was my life. It was my lifeline. While the rest of them were throwing erasers in the room and playing checkers with the teacher, I had my Bible open, reading my Bible. Lunchtime, reading my Bible. Went to a school part of the time where I had the opportunity to go away during lunch. I'd go up in the mountain and pray, seek God during lunchtime. That's how I made it, brother. I'm telling you, that's how I made it. Because I stayed on my knees. And I stayed in the Word of God. And I did what was right when it wasn't convenient to do it. Y'all, I really believe in holiness. I really believe in a sanctified life. I don't believe you're going to heaven without it. You hearing me? You may be a Baptist, a Presbyterian, a Methodist, but I ain't got no quarrel with that. I don't care what title you carry. But I'm going to tell you something. If the Spirit of God lives in you, He's going to make you holy. He's going to sanctify you. And if there's not something going on in your life, I don't care what title you carry. Holiness, Pentecostal, Baptist, Presbyterian. I don't care what title you carry. But if there's not something going on in your life and you're not becoming more like Jesus Christ, then there's something vital missing in your life. Hear me now, moms and dads. If it don't bother you when your children are heading into the world, there's no burden on your heart for them. You know the reason for that? Because there's something wrong in you. When it doesn't bother you, when people disregard the cross of Jesus, when the church service means little to them, texting on phones, chewing on their bubble gum, looking at pictures, in their wallets, thumbing through the phone book. It ain't the phone book, I mean the song book. Just doing everything but worshiping God. Everything but paying attention to what's going on in the house of God. I'm telling you, it's time for somebody to get disturbed. It's time for somebody to start praying. It's time for God to begin to work in our homes, in our hearts, in our lives. It's time, brother and sister, that we pray until these young people feel the convicting presence of the Holy Ghost and begin to cry out to God in repentance and seek the face of God and get some strength and courage to live for Jesus in the world we're living in right now. Well, here's what I want you to do. I want you to get your Bible and scout out the boundaries of your inheritance. I want you to get your walking shoes on and start walking the boundaries of your inheritance. Start claiming what Jesus died to give you. I want you to be strong and of a good courage. Obey God when it is convenient to do so. Obey God when it's not convenient to do so. You're going to see God work in your home and in your life, brother and sister. You hearing me? You're going to see God work in your home and in your life when you start being strong and of a good courage. Let's stand together. I've had you happy and I preached you sad. I hate to wind up on a note like that. But sometimes it's better that we don't walk out of church and everybody just feeling good. You hear me? I said sometimes it's better that we don't walk out of church and everybody just feeling good. Feeling good in spite of their sin. Feeling good in spite of their rebellion. Feeling good in spite of their rejection of the Word of God. God wants some conviction in your life. If you're not obeying God in your life, God wants conviction in your life. There's got to be some changes made. Yeah, in my life and yours too. Because the Holy Ghost, listen to me now, the Holy Ghost is not going to leave you where you are. He's going to sanctify your life. Well, I thought I might just dismiss and go home, but I don't think I am. Oh, glory to God. Woo, hallelujah. Praise the Lamb of God. Amen. It may be somebody here, God spoke to your heart, and you say, I need help from God, and I'm after it. I'm putting on my walking shoes, and I'm heading into the promised land, and I'm going to take the land God promised unto me. Is there somebody here this morning you're willing to put your walking shoes on and head to this altar and claim the promises God has given to you in the Word of God? Anybody here? Without a song? Here come one. Would there be two? Would there be three? Would there be four? I'm putting my walking shoes on and I'm going after the blessings of God in my life. I'm going to claim the inheritance God has promised unto me. Hallelujah. Would you come? Thank God for these that are coming. Maybe others are coming. Join us. Seeking the face of God. Oh, Jesus, help us this morning. Hallelujah, hallelujah, hallelujah.